rock and roll legend, a member of the Beach Boys. Bruce Johnston is on the phone. Hey, man.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Where are you? So that if it's good morning or afternoon,
well,
Bruce.
You know what? Actually, I'm in New York City. It's raining. There's sirens going crazy around this hotel. I can't believe it. And I love your format. I was on hold for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what the hell to expect. And, you know, let me tell you something. You know, original surf music,
yeah,
it was never the Beach Boys stuff at the beach. It was always kind of rhythm and blues and the blues.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about ZZ and Plant and all those characters, it makes me feel good. I feel unworthy, actually. Don't play anything of mine. What should I? I'll tell you what. I did all the vocal arrangements on the Pink Floyd album, The Wall. You know, so I did. I really did.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, and I sang. They have this one song I sang, and I had to write these parts, you know, where the worms are going out of the guy's eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so gruesome singing it.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me with you in particular. Of course, you've been a member of the Beach Boys for 30-plus years, and the thing is, everywhere you go and you look at popular rock and roll music or rock from the past, you're somehow involved.
Well, you know, I'm like Woody Allen and Zelig. I was just there, you know. I'll tell you honestly, you're so young in the music business. I used to back up Ritchie Valens and Eddie Cochran, and I was in a band with Phil Spector, and, you know, this was before I was 17.
And how did the Beach Boys discover you? Because from what I read, you were putting out music that sounded like the Beach Boys anyways.
I was recording across the street from where the guys were, and Jan and Dean were all making the same kinds of records. We all knew each other, and Mike called me to see if I could find someone to take Brian's place, and I couldn't, so I volunteered for the weekend, and then it turned into a couple weeks, and then Brian asked me to sing on California Girls, and you want to hear the true story?
What?
Well, that is the first part. The other part is I had this job at Columbia Records, and I was producing Parker and the Raiders, no royalties, and I had this hit called Halo Cobra, no royalties, and I was netting $80 a week except for the $4,000 I was ripping off in arrangement bills. Anyway, but I knew that wasn't going to last long, so Carl, I go out for 2 weeks, I come home, and I'm so young, and I think, God, wouldn't it be great if I could just make, you know, $250 a week, because that was a lot of money then. So Carl says, well, how much do you want for the tour? I said, well, $250. So I go down to the business manager's office, and I get 14 times $250. I thought, I got to be in this band.
And you've been in it ever since.
I've been in it ever since. I still love the music and what the hell.
You got to update us on the status of the Beach Boys, of course, with Carl passing away, who I honestly thought, you know, after Brian left the band, he was the blood and guts of that band.
You know what the blood and guts really are? The songs.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. And we kind of chilled for a little while, and I was feeling really crappy, and I had a label who came up with a huge budget to make a symphonic Beach Boys, so I went in and produced 30 songs. It's called Symphonic Sounds, Music of the Beach Boys, Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and Mike sang on it, and I sang on it, and Al Jardine's son sang on it, and so that was really kind of cool. We still didn't do any dates, but we just started, a few days ago going out again, and I turn around, and Carl's not there, and I hear his part. It's not sample. I hear one of the guys in the backup band singing.
Yeah.
It's very eerie. But you know what? Carl lives in the music, so it's okay.
Yeah. So you're gonna tour again, and the Beach Boys will continue doing what they've always done?
Well, I hope so. I hope we do it as well. I mean, of course, without Carl's voice, who knows?
I know.
I hope it'll last. We've got this VH1 special that you can see a lot of Carl in. It's a documentary on the Beach Boys that we kind of authorize. It comes out on the 23rd of August, and...
You know, and he was a trooper too, because he was quite sick and still touring with you guys.
You know what? Right before he died, he had us convinced he was going to go out this summer with the symphonies. I had no idea he hit it so well that he was this sick. Had no idea. Can you believe 51 and you're over?
I can't.
That is so sad.
I can't picture it, man.
I can't either. He's got grown kids and they are just champs, and everything will kind of be okay.
You mind if I throw a Larry King question out there?
Oh, sure.
James Watt, your thoughts?
Well,
yeah, you lived
you know
it.
What? Wait, let me tell you something. So Mike Love gets a call. Do you remember WMMS up in Cleveland?
Sure,
the buzzard.
So he gets a call from this guy, and Mike hadn't heard about James Watt, you know, banning the Beach Boys. And so Mike's asleep. We're in Newfoundland. So, it's like they're like 2.5 hours or an hour and a half time difference. They have halves up in Canada. So they wake him up, and they talk to him about it, and he doesn't realize he's on the radio. And so they say, well, what do you think about this? We've explained what happened. What do you think about James Watt? And so Mike, at 6 a.m., says, you know, they should really drill his ass for brains. I swear that happened.
That's
why I love Mike Love.
Also got to throw out there, because Haney and I were talking about it, and we said, Bruce joined the band, what, 1965?
April.
Do you have any memories or any stories to tell about Brian's dad, Murray, in the studio? I mean, there's outtakes going around now on CD of him just railing you guys. You just go and I have a number one hit, and he's still railing Brian and the whole band about what kind of music is this?
Well, it might have been out of his frustration maybe that he didn't have the hits. I joined the band after he had been let loose. So I only have secondhand stories, as you guys do.
Yeah.
He was always pretty nice to me.
He was?
Yeah, he was pretty cool to me.
Well, the one that we've heard is just so comic because the Beach Boys are in the studio trying to record Help Me, Rhonda, and he's going, this is terrible. I don't know what you people are thinking. You have one hit, you think you know it all. This is terrible. This is crap.
I guess he's not my favorite coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I do one thing?
Go ahead.
Okay. Local business in Naples, Cable Promart, Angie and Scott, hi from Bruce. Hope you're listening because I know you guys listen all the time.
Cool.
A couple fans down there, a little away from you.
I also want to ask you, it's always in the paper. It's always being discussed about how is the relationship now with the Beach Boys and Brian?
Well, Brian loves me. So I'm cool. I'm in the clear. And actually, he worked all that stuff out with Mike. Brian's trying to put together a tour, like a one-time tour, and he's asked me to come along for part of it and Al for part of it. So I think we're okay.
Will we ever see him do something with the Beach Boys tour?
You know what? I'm trying to get him to come down to Chastain Park while he's still promoting his album in Atlanta, because that's a really big date for us. And we don't have any big wars going on, except for a lawsuit in New Hampshire. But but that's okay. It's a friendly one. But we're actually totally cool.
You know, you're doing this classical thing now. Wasn't it last year you guys got involved with some Latina band?
Well, yeah, that didn't work out. I mean, the only thing that we did that was really cool that ever worked out was doing Wipeout with the Fat Boys about 10 years ago.
Oh, sure.
That was actually cool. The classical thing is, it's just to kind of look at these great melodies that Brian wrote. I don't think it'll ever get played in the radio, but I'll tell you, the album's cool because it starts with 4 minutes of an overture, then it just goes into songs that are sung before, and the symphony plays, and the big suite is until the end of it. So it's actually a pretty cool album.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it. The only reason why I brought up that Latina stuff is because we had, I guess, the leader of that band on about a year ago, and I'm sitting in the movie theater, and they're playing the theater music, and up pops that song.
Oh, my God. Now, hey, listen, back to the symphonic. Now, this is really a horrible thing to say. So if I had my choice of buying my produced album that I produced with the Royal Philharmonic and another album, I'd probably go and get the best classical crossover album there is, Days of Future Past, with Moody Blues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real symphonic.
So you know what I
pretender.
You know what I really enjoy?
What?
That Hooked on Swing with, I think it's, Les Elgart? That's awfully good. I enjoy that.
Will I lead or will you lead?
Bruce, what's the rest of your day like? What are you doing today?
Well, I'm writing a joke. It's this girl in Japan and this guy in Israel, they decide to start a company. And you know what they call it?
What's that?
Sosumi.
That's an old joke.
Hold on.
I know that. It's late. It's raining. I can't get out of the room.
Here, feed this down the line to
you. Hold on. I got something here for you. We're going to feed it down the line to you. Go ahead.
You ready?
Go.
We got a little rim shot there for you.
Oh, my God.
You got
God.
Another?
Is that stereo?
Yeah, it is. Bruce, I want to thank you for the time that you spent with us. And
thanks,
best of luck.
If anything, just so I can kind of look cool, just will you grab one of those tracks out of the wall album so I'm not a total waste on your show?
You got it, pal.
I'll see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Musical legend Bruce Johnston of the Beach Boys.
And a funny man.
Take a break here on K-Rock. Be back after this.